All right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio for the students by the students. It's Friday, everybody. You made it through another week almost. Just got to get through today. And then you can have a fun weekend, I think, anyway. I guess you might not have a fun weekend, but I would assume that most people are going to be able to have a fun weekend. And if you don't usually, hopefully you still do now. But that's beside the point. How's it going, Megan?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm really tired.
Me too.
Yeah, I did not want to get up today. I was like, I wish I could just...
I woke up like a half hour before.
Yeah, I did get up a little bit earlier because I had to go and come into the TSC and convert some files so that we can play them on the show. But yeah, it's been an adventure. It's been fun. I got back from the Jazz Spurs game last night at like 12:30. So it was late, and it was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
I'm a Spurs fan.
Spurs won.
I'm a Spurs fan, and the Spurs did win. But the Jazz are my number two team, so if they won, I would still have been happy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really cool to see my favorite team play live. Granted, I was up in, like, the corner in the nosebleeds. So it wasn't a great view, but...
That's usually where I am.
Yeah, that's where most
besides the one time I went front row.
Yeah,
against the Trailblazers.
Yeah, hopefully.
And that was the time they won. So.
Well, that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jazz have won one of the three games I've been to. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks last year when I went. And the year before, I watched them play against the Lakers. But that was the year that they were just terrible. And yeah. They lost to the Lakers, who were also terrible. But, I don't know.
I've been to three this season. I went to the Trailblazers, and they won the Rockets. And they just barely lost. And then the Denver Nuggets, and they won. Because the Denver Nuggets aren't very good.
No, they're not. But, yeah, so when I went 2 years ago, the year that they were terrible and they lost to the Lakers, I was kind of annoyed with them because, at least with some of the players, because they didn't seem to care. During their warm-ups, they were just screwing around the whole time and...
Really?
Just laughing and not taking it seriously at all. And it's like, you guys have won, like, 20 games. You probably shouldn't be acting like it's all fun and games.
I don't see that this season.
No, I didn't see it, and that was one thing that I noticed yesterday. I was paying attention. They seemed a lot more about... You know, they were having fun and stuff, but they were more serious about it. They weren't just messing around.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're definitely a better team this year.
Yeah.
And usually they're not close to playoff position.
Well, they weren't for that year. Other than that, they have been.
Oh.
But yeah, that 1 year, it leaves a pretty...
Well, this is like the closest, I feel like, in a while.
3 years ago, the year before that year, either they made it to the playoffs or they barely missed because they had 40-something wins. And then last year, they barely missed. This year, I mean, they still have a ways to go, but hopefully they can make it. I think that they will.
They will.
She says it and then just, like, sits there smiling.
They will.
No, I think that they will. As long as they can put it together. They really didn't... They still didn't play terrible last night. The Spurs were just really good. And Kawhi Leonard just couldn't be stopped on his offensive game, and he really held Gordon Hayward in check during the game. I wouldn't say Gordon had a bad game, even though you were kind of thinking that he did, but I didn't think he did. He was just, it's tough to go against.
I think he was like 4 for 13 or something, though.
Yeah, but that's because he's going against Kawhi Leonard. It wasn't that he was just having an off game. It was just he was had a really tough defense that he was going against.
Yeah, that's true.
But Derek Favors was on fire.
Yeah.
He was
good.
Doing an amazing job.
So is Kawhi Leonard your favorite Spurs player?
Well, I don't know that I would say that I have a favorite, but he's definitely their best player. He and LaMarcus Aldridge, but Aldridge didn't have that good of a game yesterday. He wasn't terrible, but he also missed several shots that were easy shots. It's like that's why I'm looking at the stats kind of will lie to you at times. If you look at the stats and you see Gordon Hayward... only hits like 4 of 13, he said.
Yeah.
And you could say, oh, well, he just shot terribly, but it's not really that. It's just all of his shots were really well contested. And so it was tough for him to get any open looks. And there's a difference between that and someone else who has open looks and misses them. So,
yeah.
But anyway, jumping into Aggie sports, now that we've taken a little bit of time, being on a side mission
yeah.
or something, we can start out with our men's basketball team. Last week, they played against Colorado State and Fresno State. And the Colorado State game was here, and they were able to win that one pretty easily. It was a really good game to watch. They won 72-59. And then they lost to Fresno State later on the week at Fresno State, 75-68. And you know, Fresno's a really good team, and they weren't able to overcome that. But then this week, on Wednesday, they played against Nevada, and they fell just short. It was an interesting game because they were up by a bunch in the first half, and then in the second half, they let Nevada come back and take the lead, and then it was a close game, and then it just kind of, there was a couple bad plays at the end of the game that cost us the game. And so they lost by 5, even though it was a little bit closer than that. It was tied with, like, I want to say 30 seconds left or something. But yeah, they're back in action tomorrow night here at the Spectrum against San Jose State. I want to encourage everyone to go out and, you know, cheer for the team. Yeah. And
it's a beach out, so that's something unique. Yeah, first because spring break is coming up. So make sure to get your beach gear. So head down there because we need...
Wear your Hawaiian shirts and hula skirts and stuff like that.
And coconut bras.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I wish I could participate in that, but can't.
Yeah, we'll be on the press row, so no coconut bras for us.
But yeah, so that, again, is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night here in the Spectrum against San Jose State. And we should get that win pretty easily. San Jose State is one of those teams that is not very good. They could still potentially beat us, but I think that we would have to have a really bad game for that to happen. But moving on to our men's tennis team, last week they went 1-1. They lost to Texas Tech, and they beat University of Texas San Antonio. And this week, on this Sunday, they're taking on Gonzaga at 1 p.m., and that's going to be at the Sports Academy and Racquet Club. So if you want to check that out, feel free to go do that. At Sports Academy, 1 o'clock Sunday. Up after that, we have our women's basketball. And last week, they went 0-2, played against a couple pretty good teams. One really, really good team, Colorado State, and they lost to them 64-91. Then they had a close game with Fresno State afterwards, and they lost 61-67. And then this week, they played against Nevada, and I actually got to go to that game on Wednesday. And it was a lot of fun. They were able to get that win. It was an interesting game because it started out really slow and both teams were having a hard time on offense. And we were actually down by 1 point after the first quarter, which I love that the women's team uses women's basketball does quarters now instead of halves.
I didn't know that.
I think the men's team should, our men's should start doing that too because I don't know. I think it's weird that they're the only ones that do halves
out of
everything.
I don't know why they do that.
Like, every age group except for college is quarters. So
maybe there's a reason.
I don't know.
I have no idea, though.
But, yeah, the girls transitioned to quarters this year, I believe. I think it was this year. And so I think that the men's will follow. But, yeah, it's just weird doing halves. It'd be a lot... I know. It'd make a lot more sense if they did it in quarters because everyone else does theirs in quarters.
Yeah, it'd be easier to pick out, like, certain plays because there's, like, four different quarters instead of two halves.
Yeah. But anyway, so in that Nevada game, so they, going back to that, they were down by 1 point, I believe, after the first quarter. And then the second quarter, we took off and did an awesome job and got up by... like 12 or 14 at halftime. And then in the third quarter, we let them come back and, or not completely, but made it close again. And then it was kind of a dogfight going down the stretch. And really, we were able to get the win, but it was kind of rough for a little bit. There was a lot of fouls, and there were some pretty terrible calls by the refs in that game, but it almost felt like the game was getting out of control, like midway through the fourth quarter. And I just was thinking that if they could have like a 5-minute timeout where they just didn't do anything, like everyone just cooled down, probably would have done some good. But I think at the same time, it also is a benefit for, you know, any of our players, or for our players to be in kind of that situation and overcome it. And they did. So that was really fun to see. They are back in action again tomorrow as well, but they're going to be at San Jose State, and that's going to start at 3 p.m. And so I know that they will be showing that online through the Aggie Digital Network through Campus Insiders. So I'm sure that there's a link to it. I'm sure they post a link every time that they have a game on their Twitter. But yeah, so check that out. 3 o'clock tomorrow. It's weird that it's already Saturday.
But yep, only one more week until spring break.
I don't know that I really want to hear that, because I have to take a test next week and I'm going to have to study a lot for it, because...
Yeah, I had a test yesterday, test Monday, test Friday. It's fun. Midterms are fun.
Is it? Are they fun?
No, I have not slept.
Yeah, I'm not excited at all about having to take that test, because I'm going to have to study a bunch because I skipped the class a decent amount.
Why did you skip the class?
Because I was being lazy. And because other times I had something else I had to do. So, no, what class is it? Not like it's for biology.
Oh, okay.
So, it shouldn't be too bad. It's mostly review stuff, because I already know a lot about it. But yeah, I get a confident test like that next Wednesday. But yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks. Our gymnastics team, they last week they beat BYU, which was awesome, down in Provo, and they beat them 195.475 to 195.150. And Mackenzie Martinez finished second place in the all-around, did an awesome job. And this week, they are in action again tonight. That's against Boise State at 7. And Boise State is actually ranked number 9th, so it'll be a tough match. But yep, we can go get the win. Boise State hasn't lost yet this year.
That's here in the Spectrum, right?
Yeah. Yep, in the Spectrum at 7 o'clock tonight. So go check it out. It's a lot of fun to go to those. I, unfortunately, will be out of town tonight, so I won't be able to go.
Where are you going?
I'm going to do a thing with my family down in Utah County. So
nice. Good old Utah County.
Yeah, something like that. Our women's tennis team, last week they went 1-2. They beat Lewis and Clark State College, and then they lost to Washington State and Idaho. They've had a lot of action this week, but we don't have any results for that. But we will give those to you next week hopefully on Monday. But if not on Monday, definitely next Friday. But, yeah, hopefully they had a good week. And, yeah, I kind of don't have much to say about it because I don't know too much about what's going on with them. But our indoor track and field team, they're in the middle of their championships for the indoor track and field. This week, they have started yesterday, and it goes through Saturday. And so, hopefully they go and do well. That's why there was a couple girls from my English class that are in the track team. And I think that's why they weren't there yesterday, because they were leaving to go to New Mexico, was it? Yeah, and Albuquerque. So, good luck to everyone out there. Probably not ever going to hear this, but good luck anyway. And then we have up softball. Last week they did a pretty good job. They went 3-2. They beat Weber State, UTEP, and Southern Utah, but they lost to Grand Canyon, and Cal State Northridge. And then this week, they're in action tomorrow and Sunday. It's a UC Riverside tournament, so in California. They're going to take on UC Riverside and Santa Clara twice each. That's next week, actually. It's not this week. So, want to wish them luck for that, though. They haven't really started their regular season yet, but I think they're close to winding down on their preseason stuff, and we're excited for them to be able to jump into their season, and hopefully they can have a lot of success. Last up is our men's golf team. They will be in action next month on the 28th and 29th at the UC Irvine Invitational. So I'm sure that they're starting practice and everything and getting excited for the start of their season. But that's kind of our update. It's right now, we usually go to a break, but before we do that, we're going to give you just our Athlete of the Week. It's a reminder, because we did announce it on Monday, but our Athlete of the Week is Mackenzie Martinez for her performance in the gymnastics meet last week. That's scary. But yeah, she's done a great job, and like I said, she took second in the all-around, the best on our team, and helped us get a win against rival BYU, so that's always fun to do. So I want to congratulate her.
Yeah. Hopefully she does good tonight. I'm sure she will. It would be cool to beat Idaho? Who is it? Boise State.
Boise State. Idaho? Yeah, Boise State.
Boise State.
And quick entry into our Hall of Shame. It's not really sports related, but it's just I'm giving it to society in general, because we have a lot of people that have a lot of ideas that do not make any sense. So
what?
Everyone gets the Wall of Shame entry because we as humans just have some weird ideas that...
Give me an example.
I don't want to do that.
Why?
On the air. Because I don't want to offend anyone in particular. So.
Well, you already
I didn't specify humans. Anything.
Okay.
Because, by the way, I said it, like, I am included as well, but...
I definitely am.
Yeah, you are special. But yeah, so basically just people do some really dumb stuff. I guess we'll give it to Utah drivers specifically.
Because did you have some problems coming home from the game last night or
no.
something?
Not really, no, but it's just every day when I'm delivering sandwiches, like I just see all these stupid things that people do when they're driving, and I'm just like, why are you doing that? It's not that hard to drive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't, then
props to you. I don't drive around very much.
Yeah, you're one of those.
I only use my car to go to dance. So.
You would.
And to the store.
And to the store. But yeah.
But probably frustrating because Main Street has some pretty bad traffic.
Yeah, well, I avoid Main Street most of the time. But yeah, it is annoying when I have to go down it and people are being dumb. But yeah, so that's our Hall of Shame entry because didn't think to get anything else. But we are going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to play you an interview that we recorded yesterday, and it's going to be with Megan Allen. She's one of the media relations people here at Utah State. She does media relations for the women's soccer, women's basketball, and the softball team. So going to find out a little bit about her and what she does after the break, but we're going to listen to a song first. This is Miss Atomic Bomb by The Killers.
You were standing with your girlfriends in the street, falling back on forever. I wonder what you came to be. Oblivious to schoolgirls' lies. And when I look back on those neon nights, the leather seat, the passage right, I feel the heat, I see the light. Miss Atomic. gonna miss me when I'm gone. Racing shadows in the moonlight through the desert on a hot night. And for a second there we won. Yeah, we were innocent and young.
Right now we have a special guest, and her name is Megan Allen. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, we're excited to have you on here, and we're going to get to know you a little bit and find out more about what you do.
Perfect.
And
I'm not used to being on this side of it, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a different side for everyone. I mean, I would love to do what you do, and we're going to find out more about what you do. But to start out, where are you from?
I was actually born and raised here in Utah, grew up in Layton, was born in Logan, Aggie family, back forever. Moved to Arizona in Tucson when I was in high school, though, so that's kind of where I claim, but I've been back in Logan for 8 years now almost, so.
So basically, your whole time growing up, you were planning on coming here?
Yep, that was always the plan. We grew up coming up to basketball and football games, doing all of that as a family, and then once I moved and I was in Arizona, it still was kind of the plan. Started having more options, but when it got down to it, it was still the best option for me. Was cheaper than paying in-state tuition in Arizona, so
yeah.
Came up here and it worked out.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed when I was living in California, serving as an LDS missionary, is that I looked at the prices of colleges over there, and it was just ridiculous. And it's kind of like that everywhere, not nearly as bad in other places as California, but I know that's a lot cheaper to go here.
Yeah, between tuition and housing and everything, it was going to be about the same to pay in-state at Arizona State as it would to be out of state here at Utah State. So
yeah, but did your parents go here?
Yeah.
So So were you able to get like a legacy scholarship?
Yeah, I did the legacy for the first year. It was actually the first year that they were doing the legacy. So
well, that's pretty good timing.
It worked out nicely, yeah. And then I did a lot of student involvement kind of stuff, got a lot of different scholarships through that. Eventually just got in-state tuition and stayed put, so.
Well, that's good. And what was your degree?
My undergrad was in journalism. I did kind of a crossover of print and PR. Technically graduated in print, but did a little bit of both with the classes. And then I did my master's in physical education.
Yeah, when you say a bit of both, it makes me think of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I never saw it.
Oh my goodness, you need to watch that because it's so good. It's one of my favorite movies. But at the end, say, where do you guys want to do now? And you wanted to do something good, something bad, bit of both. And he said, we'll follow your lead. He's like,
that sounds about just like the JCOM program, I'm not going to lie.
But, okay, so is that kind of the best degree to use for your job right now?
Probably. Yeah. I didn't know that that's what I wanted to do when I was starting the journalism program. I didn't get into that until my junior year. Bounced around through a few different majors and stuff, and finally said, yeah, landed on journalism or PR, one of the two, which then led to finding this job that I have. Got into it thinking I was going to be your typical journalist, and by my senior year, I hated that, knew I didn't want to do that, so it led to different opportunities that put me where I am now, so it worked out nicely.
That's awesome. And for me, I do radio shows and everything, but I wouldn't want to do the constant writing and all that. So I'm not taking any JCOM classes or anything, but I like talking about sports, and this is kind of a medium for me to do that. And so,
yeah, and my job is the perfect, with, like I said, doing combination of the classes, it's kind of the perfect balance for what I do, because there is some writing, but there's a lot of PR side of things as well. So it's the perfect balance, I think, of getting to write and do that sort of thing, but it's not all I do, which can burn you out real quick.
So I guess, what exactly is your job title?
I don't even remember. Is that media relations coordinator or something to that effect?
You're not even sure what your job title is. That's great.
Yeah. There's, like I say, there's four of us in our office, and we all have different titles, and we all do the same thing, so.
Just for different sports, right?
Yep.
So I guess kind of for those who don't really know, what is it that you do for your job?
So media relations, also known as sports information, we handle kind of the behind the scenes aspects of sports and games. So we're running all of the stat programs and everything that generates the statistics at games. So it's a computer program that we have that just inputs everything and generates it and makes it be the official stats for the game.
So is someone typing into like the different stats? Okay, so I was wondering if what you were saying, it made it sound like they was like electronically figuring out what was.
Yeah, no, so we have two people, there's a caller and an inputter for each sport. And so somebody's sitting at the computer, if it's basketball, somebody's calling just the play-by-play, you know, shots and rebounds and everything like that. And the other person is inputting that. There's a whole coding system. It's super old school DOS computer system. Some sports we have two callers. So at football, somebody's doing offense, somebody does defense, one person inputs it. And then with some sports, it's way more difficult than others. You know, soccer, we need who took a shot, did it go in, great. Volleyball, on the other hand, is anytime anybody touches the ball, we have to record that. So makes it an adventure sometimes.
Yeah, and then also with some volleyball plays, and most of the time in basketball, it's a lot of rapid-fire stuff. So
definitely.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy that has to input it.
Oh, yeah.
Calling it out wouldn't be as bad.
See, and I'm the other way around. I way rather would enter than call. Calling gives me super anxiety, and I can't handle it, especially for volleyball.
It just bumps that spike. Come on, it's not that hard. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's more involved with that.
You add the speed to it, and it's just so easy to get behind, and if you get on the wrong side of the net, it's just a nightmare. So that's the main part of what people see and understand. And then we also do all of the media coordination. So anytime a newspaper or anybody like that wants to do an interview with a student athlete or do anything involving our teams, they go through us to set that up. So like I said, there's four of us. We each are over a few different sports, kind of handle all of the contact and communication there.
And you get to hang out with all the athletes.
Yes.
And you get to go on trips as well with the teams, right?
I do. I travel with the women's basketball team. Everything else I kind of do from home for the most part. Go to select tournaments or in-state games with them. But basketball, I go everywhere from day one through the Mountain West tournament. So.
And so you're doing all that for a women's basketball. What other ones do you cover? What other sports?
I'm with soccer and softball.
Soccer and softball. And so I guess, what is basketball your favorite sport then?
Am I allowed to have a favorite?
I don't know. Are you?
I don't know. They all have their different pros and cons to them. You know, there are different things that I love about all of them, and there are things that drive me crazy about all three of them. So I don't know if I could pick a favorite, honestly, without super analyzing it, but...
And then offending the players on the teams.
Exactly, that too, because I love you all.
Yeah. But I mean, for me personally, my two favorite sports are basketball and football. Typical for guys, I think, but I love those sports, and I know you're kind of a football fan, right?
Yes, very much, and it's been interesting to see my tastes in sports change over the years of being in the office and working in the job that I do. So I think football is still my favorite as far as sit down and watch a game. Football still wins, but I've grown to love and get to know and understand more about all of the others as well, which has made it more fun.
Yeah, I feel like the more that you understand a sport, the funner it is to watch and the more involved you can be.
Sometimes. It also is kind of hard. Like, I can't sit down and watch a Jazz game without thinking in stats in my head. I watch it and I see the play-by-play and I'm calling it in my head and I'm thinking what the coding would be. And so I kind of miss that aspect of just being able to watch a game and not be an SID about it. But
yeah, well, for me, when I'm watching a game, I look at the plays and think what a player could have done a little bit better and see angles that you should have done this and that was a good play, that was a bad shot. I'm constantly, during the men's basketball games, I analyze if it was a good shot or not, a good shot attempt, whether or not they make it. Yeah. And most of the time when they take a good shot, they'll make it, but sometimes they don't. But there's other times that they take a bad shot and they miss it, or they might still make it, but I'm just like, that was a bad shot.
Yeah.
Bad shot selection. Yeah,
I know the feeling.
And so I get frustrated because I want to be a coach, so I got to analyze it that way. And
have that side of it for sure.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's good that it kind of comes naturally to me. But I can totally understand, like, you can't just sit there and watch it and be excited. I try to blend the two. It's kind of hard when I'm doing media stuff and I can't cheer for our teams. But I enjoy watching the games. I was really happy about the Super Bowl. I know that you weren't too happy about that NFC Championship game.
No, it did not go well.
Not one bit.
Yeah, I tried to block that out of my brain because... was not my favorite game of the year.
It was just so bad. I mean, I don't know why Carson Palmer had such a terrible game.
He just forgot how to be Carson Palmer. I don't know.
I guess we should mention that you're a big Cardinals fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That might be helpful in case that wasn't clear.
Being from Arizona, it's kind of an easy choice.
Yes. And it was kind of when I grew up kind of watching sports, but not really caring. But about my junior year of high school is when I finally started caring and getting in
when you find passionate the light.
About it. And so then, yeah, that was who was there. And conveniently, a couple years later, they went to the first Super Bowl that...
ever for them.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and that was a close game. It was a good one.
Yeah, and then we forgot how to play football for a few years, but we're back, so it's okay.
Hopefully they don't forget again.
Yes, right? Fingers crossed.
But I guess, what is your favorite part of your job?
I think the interaction that I get to have with our student athletes and our coaches, you get to know everybody on a level outside of their sport and see different sides of them, especially traveling with the basketball team. You really get to know everybody really well. We went to Mexico this summer it was legitimately a basketball trip, but spent a week playing in the ocean and hanging out and really getting to know each other. And that was huge for the team especially, but for everybody involved as well. And so from every sport around the whole university, you just really get to know everybody, see who they are outside of, just a football player or things like that.
Yeah, and I think that would be a lot of fun. I've gotten to know Chris Smith a little bit. He was in one of my classes last semester, mm-hmm. and I played him in NBA 2K a few times. I haven't beat him yet, but...
You'll get there.
Hopefully I'll get there. But apparently he and the other basketball players just play that all the time. So.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
I don't spend nearly as much time. So. That's awesome.
But, yeah, so between the athletes and the coaches, it's just a whole new... You're working together, yes, but you also... It's your friends and... And makes it a lot more enjoyable to be around everybody for that long.
That's pretty awesome. So I guess, is there anyone that, I guess, on the court that, like, you'll see them and you'll think that they're kind of probably a shy person, then you like, personally, like, you've seen that they're not at all that way?
I'm trying to think. I mean, everybody, the basketball team especially, is very distinctive personalities. We've got the whole range from the loud and outgoing and constantly going to the quiet but sweet as can be, you know, the most you'll ever hear her say is when I make her do a post-game press conference or something like that.
Who's that?
Deja Mason.
Deja Mason.
Such a sweetheart. So, so quiet. And that's just her, and it works, and it's great, but she's just fun. So it's cool to see the whole range.
And so who's kind of the energetic one?
So Katie Toole is one of them. She's very bubbly, one of her go-tos is like, hey Megan, it's Katie from basketball, remember me? Yes, Katie.
It's like, yeah, we talked like last week.
I see you daily.
I saw you yesterday. I saw you an hour ago.
And that's how she is with everybody. She'll say that to everybody she comes across, and it's very funny.
That's awesome.
Makes it fun, so...
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And I guess, did anyone surprise you with their personality?
I don't know if I'd say surprised so much. But like I say, that Mexico trip, usually we're not getting to know anybody or see different sides of people until November, you know. So to have that in August before half of these girls had even started school yet, anything like that was fascinating and interesting to kind of get that early glimpse into them.
All right, and so I guess another question that I have is, there's a lot of international players on the girls' basketball team, particularly. Has it been weird to, like, the difference between people based off of where they're from?
Honestly, no, because they are brought together by basketball, and that's so much of their focus and why they're there. That you really don't even notice it. Like, yeah, you look at the roster and you see, oh, okay, Australia, France, Serbia, Australia again, Brazil. We've got the whole world covered, it feels like.
It feels like there's more people that are from out of the country than are from in the country.
Definitely feels that way sometimes. But, I mean, everybody has been around before. Like, it's not like this is their first experience being outside of their country. I mean, both of... our seniors who were foreign, they both played at junior colleges in the States before they came to Utah State.
And which colleges are those?
Tiana is from Serbia, and she played at Miami-Dade before she came here. And then Julianne Anschling is from France, and she played at Trinity Valley, won a couple national championships down there and did really well. And then the other one, Angelica, she's a junior, is from Brazil, and she played at New Mexico Junior College last year, so...
Yeah, she's actually in a sports psychology class last semester, so I've actually met her, and I'm actually in the same ward as Armand.
Yeah.
Armand. I said his name wrong.
Armand, yep.
But yeah, so I mean, it's kind of cool how, like, kind of how big our school is, and then at the same time how small it is, because you can see people that, like, athletes when you walk into class. The other day I saw... Funda walking to class, and I thought about, you know, saying hi or whatever, but I was in the middle of talking to someone. I was like, I'll just talk to her when I interview her.
There you go.
Because luckily, I mean, you've been able to help us out and set up some interviews with some of the basketball players, and something that we're working on trying to do a lot here now, or at least I am, at Aggie Radio, to interview a lot of the players and kind of get their story out and find out more about them.
Definitely.
Because, as you were talking about earlier, is they are a lot more than just, like, basketball players, and I think it's really exciting that we have a couple players from Australia. I've always loved Australia. I like to talk in what I think sounds like an Australian accent.
We'll see how
and I'm going to have to test it out and see what Funda and Rachel think. And I just think it's really cool that we've got a really big school, but then at the same time, it's not that big.
Definitely.
Because you can be connected to people and all that.
And yeah, and that's the thing. They're from all over the world and it all different places in their lives, but come together for the sole purpose of being on the basketball court and doing well, so.
And, I mean, you can't ask for a much better experience than that, being able to go somewhere and do the thing that you love.
Yeah, exactly. It's what they've been working for their whole lives, especially you talk to the foreigners. That's their whole goal all growing up was to leave their country, come to America to play basketball. That's what all they wanted. So
USA, USA, USA. No, and actually, I'm going to be asking some of the international players kind of what was like to be able to come here and what the difference is between here and their home world, because I've only actually left the country once, and that was when I was like 2, and that was just Canada, so I don't know that it really counts. So,
yep.
So I mean, I don't really know what it's like in other countries, and so I'm excited to find out more about that. So,
well, they'll fill you in, I'm sure.
So I guess what would be some advice that you would have for anyone that would be interested in doing sort of a media relations job?
Like I said, I didn't know it was a thing until almost my senior year of college. So it took a while for me to kind of get a grasp on it and figure out what was really going on. And so the biggest shock to me was the time commitment. You know, we're still in the we're in the office the full regular 9 to 5 plus some, plus we're doing home games, whatever, you know, whatever is at home. If we're not on the road, we're here. We're helping and working that game. And then you throw in the travel, you throw in everything else, and you just don't realize how much time you really have to be devoting to this for a job you honestly don't get paid a ton for. So
I think it would be a lot of fun personally because of how much I love sports.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I get to legitimately say that I make my career traveling and watching sports. And
you get paid to travel and watch sports. I mean,
yeah.
That was for a while I thought about being a sportscaster and that I would love to do that. And that's kind of what initially got me into doing Aggie Radio, was because kind of wanted to prepare for that. But as I've gone on, I've wanted to take more of like a coaching aspect, because I just think it would be awesome. But maybe I'll do both eventually.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go.
But that's awesome. And so are there options for people that, like right now, that would want to do it here at
UCLA? Yeah, I mean, in our office, we have interns who are students every year. So the interns do kind of, they help us with our day-to-day things in the office. Everybody does some office hours every week, kind of just learning how we run the office, how we do, just like I said, the day-to-day kind of things. And then they also help at games, start learning the stat programs and helping with that kind of thing. And they're not paid internships, which is the hard part. So if you're interested but don't need money, then come on over. It's just a really great way to learn kind of what we do and how we do it,
yeah.
Which for me led to my full-time position. I started as an intern when I was in school, was a grad assistant, they paid for graduate school, and then that led to the full-time spot. So you never know what can happen.
That's awesome. And I guess if anyone has any questions, is there a way that they can contact you?
Yeah, my information is just on UtahStateAggies.com. We have our whole staff directory up there, so shoot me an email, call me.
And in case you forgot, her name is Megan Allen. And it's been a while since we talked about it, but I know if you don't catch it right away. But once again, Megan Allen. And we want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we will dive a little bit into national stuff.
All right, welcome back to the bullpen here on Aggie Radio for the students by the students. That interview that was just played is now on our website at radio.usu.edu. So if you want to go check it out, you can. It should be on the main page. And so if you want, you can download that if you want as well. As well as we do have previous interviews on there. Also, we have our Jeannie Waller, well, the episode with our Jeannie Waller interview is online as well. And the one with Zach Ryle is also up there. And yeah, finally, I finally have been getting the podcasts up, so makes it good. But yeah, so for national stuff, we did talk about the Jazz Spurs game earlier, like at the beginning of the show. But I don't know, it's really fun to see live games. I mean, you don't have as good of a view. You can't see what's going on with the game quite as well. I mean, unless you're really close to the action.
Yeah.
But if you're up in, like, the nosebleeds, it would be better as far as seeing it, too. Like, just be watching it from TV. But
it's fun to be there, like,
yeah,
be in the atmosphere.
The atmosphere is fun. There were a lot of empty seats. I was kind of surprised by that. I thought that there would be more. Yeah, because, I mean, the Jazz are playing pretty well. I mean, obviously, they haven't been playing elite or anything.
Yeah, well, they were on a 7-game winning streak at home. So yeah.
Well, I mean, they're a good team, and I'm just surprised that there weren't more people there, especially when they're playing against, like, the Spurs. Because, I know, sometimes you want to go to the games to be able to see the other really good teams that come in. And there was a lot of empty seats, and I was surprised by that.
So. Maybe because it was a weeknight.
Maybe, but most of their games are on weeknights.
I know, but I don't know. Anyway. I want to see them play against Golden State.
Yeah.
I want to go to the next game they play Golden State at home.
Yeah, they usually play them really tough. And it's insane what Golden State's doing. Did you see that Steph Curry scored 51 points last night?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he went off and he like hit another like half court shot. Can't talk. A half court shot
at
like the buzzer. And I think the second
who
were
they?
Quarter.
Who was Golden State playing?
Let me look it up. It's
someone not good.
No, I think it was a good team, a decent team anyway. But, yeah.
Yeah. Steph Curry he's a baller.
Yeah, also, one thing about him is he set the record for most consecutive games with a three-pointer made. He beat Kyle Korver's record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's got, I have to look it up right now, I think it's 160-something. But he was tied with Kyle Korver in their last game before that. But he beat it just barely last night.
Yeah.
Looks like they were playing the Magic. So.
Yeah, I wish I would have watched that. But I think there was a game where Damian Lillard had like 51 points recently.
Yeah, well, he's been going off too.
He's been going off. I think he's just really close to being an all-star, but it's difficult in the West when you've got players like Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook. But he's been doing really well lately, and the Trailblazers have kind of just really upped their game. And the Jazz almost beat them, I think it was like a couple nights ago, last week.
Yeah.
But they came up a little bit short. But I wish they would have beat them, but Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are really good right now.
Mostly Damian Lillard, he's just been playing out of his mind.
Yeah, CJ McCollum is a good player too, though.
But yeah, he is a very good player, but saying like, I mean, he's been solid, doing a great job and everything, but Damian Lillard's on a completely other level at the moment.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the Blazers are a lot better than I thought they would be. I think a lot better than anyone thought they would be, except maybe them, because they lost four of their five starters, and I expected them to be a bottom dweller, but you know, Damian Lillard and Ray McCollum are kind of willing them to victories, so they're still in the hunt for the last playoff spot, so.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive by them. But, I mean, the Warriors, crazy. They are, They won last night 130-114 against the Magic, but they're 52-5, which is insane because
that is insane.
The best ever record in the NBA was the Bulls, and they had a 70-12 record. Yeah, 70-12 record, and I think that the Warriors are going to beat that.
I think they will too.
And like for the longest time, it seemed like that was going to be an impossible feat to do. But it looks like they're going to do it because of how dominant they've been. I'm excited to see them play against the Spurs in San Antonio. Because obviously when they played in Golden State, the Spurs didn't play so well. But
yeah.
I'm excited to see what can happen. Mm-hmm. Because the Spurs are also doing really well. They're 48-9. So they also have just an insanely good record.
Yeah. But I think those are definitely the two best teams
in
the whole NBA.
I think it's pretty clear just based on everyone's performances.
Yeah.
I think the only Spurs ones that still have less than 10 losses.
Yeah, the Spurs probably also have a really good chance to win the championship.
Yeah, like I think that it's going to be one of those two. I don't think that the Cavs are going to beat either one of them in a seven-game series. But, yeah, you look at it, so the next best team, as far as record go, is the Cavs, and they're at 41-15. So they've lost 10 more games we can make it funner and say they've lost three times as many games as the Warriors and almost twice as many as the Spurs.
Wow.
So they're the next best, and then you have Oklahoma City at 41-17. So
it's just crazy how the West is so dominant.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that are so dominant in the West because it used to be the East that was better.
Well, maybe back in the 90s. But for, like, the last 10 or so years, it's been all about the West. Like, there's usually one or two good teams in the East, but then 1-8 most years is they're all really good in the West. So that's the thing about it is there's a lot of teams in the West that even besides those two that could win a championship. Like Oklahoma City, I could see them winning. And then the Clippers, they're really good about folding under pressure in the playoffs, but they're also capable of winning. So they have the talent. It's just a matter of they can find a way to execute. Memphis is always really good. Dallas has a lot of experience and some good players. Right now, Portland is sitting at the seventh spot. They're actually tied with Dallas for the sixth. But Houston's at the 8th spot. The Jazz are in the 9th spot. So one of those teams is going to be left out. Hopefully the Jazz make it in. It's just a matter of what they do down the stretch, really.
Yeah.
But after them, it's just Sacramento.
It's just really tight right there. And it's tough competition because the Rockets, they have some really good players. They have James Harden. And we've only won, I think, one of our games against them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Rockets will fade down the stretch. They're not having a great year. And I think that they've kind of realized that they're not going to win the championship this year. So I think that they're not going to be putting as much effort into it.
Yeah. Or maybe that would be good for the Jazz.
Yeah.
If that happened.
But it's just funny for me because the Houston is at 500 right now. They're 29-29. So they're the 8th seed in the West. And the 8th seed in the East is actually 29-27. And it's funny because usually in the Eastern side, the last two seeds at the end of the year are under 500. But they're all above 500 right now. And the West actually looks to have, a few teams that aren't as good. So it's interesting to see that it's kind of switching over a little bit. But I think the West definitely does have the stronger teams.
Yes, for sure. We'll see. Hopefully the Golden State Warriors pass the Bulls record.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It'd be pretty cool. It's hard to want to cheer against them. Other than when Steph Curry does the little shimmy thing that he did the other day. He hit a three and then he turned around and like a shimmy right at the opponent's bench, and I think that was kind of not cool, really.
Yeah.
I think it's unnecessary, and I think it kind of makes him look like a jerk. So yeah.
Well, it's fun to have energy in games, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, you don't do it towards the other team.
Yeah, if you're taunting the other team, like, there was... I don't remember who it was, but someone on the Houston Rockets was kind of... He blocked a couple shots in a row, and he was kind of taunting the crowd. And I just... I don't like that. I think if you're on the bench and you have energy, that's fine. But if you're in the game, even if you are doing really well...
Well, it's...
I don't think...
It's totally fine to, like, get excited about it and stuff, but yeah. It's just... Don't do it directing at them.
Yeah.
Like, in your mind, it's... I'm fine with it in your mind. You're, like, saying this is, like, me doing it to you, but... It's like in the NFL when you see players get excited and they're just, like, cheering, but they don't do it towards the other team.
Yeah.
So...
I agree with that.
But, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. You got anything else you want to talk about before we...
Nope.
Sign off?
That's all I got. All
right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Once again, you can check out the podcast from that interview that we did. It is on our website at radio.usu.edu. Go check that out. And you can also check out past episodes that we have on there. We have a few on there. And I thought about putting more on, but I don't want them to show up in front of the other ones and bury them. So probably we'll just add stuff from now on. But yeah, next week I'm excited we get to have another interview. This one will be with Funda Nakasoglu. So that'll be exciting. And to the pre-spring break part of the semester. So,
yeah.
But yeah, she was a lot of fun and I'm excited.
Yeah, her accent is really fun. I think you guys will enjoy listening to her.
Hopefully. I don't see why you wouldn't. But yeah. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Make sure you
make it out to the beach out.
Study hard. Go to the game tomorrow night. Beach out. And good luck with any midterms that you have. Yeah,
stay strong.
That's pretty much it. I mean, you got one more week and then you get spring break, so it's exciting.
Thanks, guys.
But yeah, take care. This has been The Bullpen here on AccuRadio for the students by the students.